The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah, but it's not the same as like the Hulk. The Hulk actually turns into
the Hulk,
a superhero.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Is Hulk a hero?
He's a good guy.
He tries his best.
He does try his best, much like you, Ash. What were we talking about before?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Should we decide to ask a question about
the Lone Ranger?
I know we were going to go somewhere. Oh, workplace disasters.
Oh,
yes.
Right? Oh, speaking of which.
We just fell into one. We are cascading down a dark Alice in Wonderland hole here.
Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
I am thoroughly convinced that good and great and bad and horrible are all relative in the NFL. You're only as good as the other teams in the league. You're only as great as the other teams in the league. Same for bad and horrible. It's all relative. So yes, you can look at some of the statistics that are out there, and you can look at some of the rankings that are out there, and you can see that your Green Bay Packers are not where you would like them to be in some of these categories. And you can ask Matt LaFleur about them if you are an esteemed member of the media. And here is what he will tell you if you ask him about those stats.
You mentioned numbers. When do stats start mattering?
Stats are for losers. Sorry. You guys can have a heyday with that. All I care about is wins and losses. And right now,
well, that's a stat, you mo.
Four in a row, and we're trying to go 1-0 this week. So as long as we keep winning, I'll let you guys write about the stats, and we'll just try to keep taking it one game at a time and going 1-0 each week.
No, I agree with them. Some stats are useless. Some stats early in the year really don't matter as much as they do late in the year. And when I played, we really only cared about two stats. I mean, we cared about others, but not as much as we cared about these two. One is red zone, right?
Which is what they were asking
how
about
effective.
Yesterday.
Two, which pretty much tells the story of the game, if you look at it, is third down conversion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our benchmark was 38%. We had better be above 38%. And Holmgren would look, if we were like 28%, he would lose his mind over any other stat out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the third down stat can pretty much tell the outcome of a game.
Also, I don't know why he decides to do this because you know he uses stats.
I know what he's doing. He's trying to defend his guy. Well, not only his guy, but the defense is horrible in the red zone.
Stats are for losers.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Right?
They've given up 16 straight touchdowns.
It's an important stat.
Okay, but what is an example of a useless stat? Because useless would indicate zero use. And I could make the argument that, yes, you would stack them priority-wise, that some are more important than others, but that every stat shows you something. And in a field where information is power, where knowing your tendencies, your weaknesses, your strengths, you can play to those strengths, you can avoid those weaknesses, I don't understand any stat being useless.
What was useless, Jen, and I played before the age of good computers, right? They would hand us a packet of like 10 pages, which was all the analytics, third down and two on the plus 45. They're 30% they're going to run cover three, 40% they're going to run cover two. Your brain cannot process that, right? In 10 seconds while you're walking up to the line. If they play a 59 front, there's a 28% that they're going to play cover four behind it. I mean, like, give me a... That is useless, okay? That crap is useless. But stats at the end of the game are not.
What is any of that?
Yeah. Care to explain the 59 front?
59 front is the shades. It's essentially a four-man front with shades, which make it a 59 front.
Sunglasses?
With the linebackers stacked over the defense. That's a 59.
Okay.
49. A 59, 49, 25. I mean, your brain cannot process that in that amount of time. So we always laughed at it. Like, you read your handout of analytics? Yeah, sure, whatever.
But
what? Those stats are for losers.
But again, like it's like anything else. Like Aaron Rodgers steps to the line, he gets under center, he sees the way a defense is presenting itself, and he knows based on experience like what that means and who's going to be open and where the defense is going to be. Like it, I don't know that that's a stats thing, because obviously the more reps you have, and Rodgers I think has like a photographic memory, so he has that going for him, which is nice as well. But I think that all of that stuff helps you play better, helps you anticipate what you're going to see on a day, on a play-by-play basis.
It does, but like I said, the paper doesn't mean much. Like, if I walk up to the line, first, I'll give you my process when I exit the huddle, okay? The first thing I have to do is check the front, because that's going to dictate, let's say it's a pass play, on where my hole is, right? That was kind of funny. Right? And then I look at the coverage, right? So everyone knows that they disguise coverages.
I mean, is it
moving?
Can
we get past that? Can we get past that?
I'm still trying to figure out how you found your hole.
Then I sit there and I'm like, okay, that's kind of a weird looking cover three or cover four. My guess is they're trying to disguise it. So they're going to move to this on the snap of the ball. Then I have to go, okay, is the route that I have on convertible if they're disguising it and then move to this coverage? This has to happen in about 12 seconds.
By you?
By me.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Man,
right?
How did you make three Pro Bowls?
I know. Losers. Lucky. But that's every position's mindset. Now, obviously, some positions, like, I don't want to bag on Tausch at all, but right tackle is probably the easiest position to play on the field. I could play right tackle today.
This feels like something we should move on from.
I'm telling you, it's easy.
Yeah,
okay, you got a D in there, I block him. If not, I block the backer, right?
Now, I've got a serious question about the end of the play, Chew.
Yes.
At what point did you find your hole?
Sometimes you never find the hole.
That's what losers.
You know?
But
the biggest thing I'm getting yelled at, Jen, the biggest thing, I will get my hole torn apart.
Stats are for
losers. If I do not convert cover two. If I do not read cover two correctly as a tight end, I am walking to the opposite side of the sideline that Holmgren's not at.
Oh, I thought you meant the other side, like the visitor side. Like you're just running.
I wanted to, but I think that's
now,
a penalty.
I now play for this team.
Yeah.
Do you guys know who started the whole idea of stats being for losers? If you had to make a guess, I know that Belichick has famously said it, and there are other coaches who have parroted it as well. But if you had to guess about who the first person they think said stats are for losers
Bill
was.
Bill Parcells.
That's a good guess. That's another very good guess.
I know the answer, so I can't guess.
Well, go ahead, tell him.
How far back are you going?
It's McCarthy. It's Mike McCarthy.
No, it's got to go before
the first one to ever say stats are for losers.
Give me the era. What era?
1998. College football.
Oh, college football.
1998. Dennis Erickson. No.
I see Steve Spurrier saying stats are for losers and assistant coaches. Head coaches worry about wins and losses. Now, of course, there are other people. Like, there's this thing here from 1966. You've got Jets coach. I've never even heard this guy. Weeb Eubank?
Started with the Colts?
Says statistics are for losers.
You know how it's for losers?
Losing.
The name Weeb. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that is a rough one.
Weeb? I'm going to be taking loser advice from a dude named Weeb.
I just don't understand why we're still having this feud, this duel between the numbers guys and the football guys. Like, you all can coexist.
In fact, they all do coexist.
Exactly. That's what's crazy. Is you're telling me the Green Bay Packers are the only franchise in the NFL that doesn't have an analytics department? Are you trying to convince me of that?
Because
then I got a waterfront property in Arizona that you can buy as well. Like, that's ridiculous. This is the evolution of the sport. And sitting here and trying to say that ignoring the numbers is somehow like manly and traditional, but that's what we do. But, like, that's crazy talk.
But Jen, that's why we like our show, because we don't have a script. Some shows just have a script and like, what are we supposed to talk about at 8:12? Talk about this. Okay, 8:16, we got to be talking about this. Those shows are horrible, right? And that's essentially a stat, right?
Okay, explain. You're saying because the numbers indicate that somebody wants to hear something at a certain time,
right?
Or somebody.
I tell you what, if we had
to
talk,
here,
if we had to talk sports 100% of the time,
mm-hmm.
You think I'd be here?
Out
Do
like
you
Trout.
Think I
Out
would be
like
here?
Trout.
I'd be gone.
Can you imagine if we got in trouble for all the hole jokes we just made?
But wait a minute.
Seven.
You know what? Something? I'm curious about the era that you played in, Shu.
Yeah.
Because again, you're joking about the packet, the stat pack that they'd hand you.
Sure.
There was some value in knowing tendencies, in knowing trends about your opponent, right? That gave you an advantage that you wouldn't have had otherwise.
It's all valuable, Jen, but you don't have enough time to process it. It'd be like studying, all right, I'm going to take the bar exam today, not having gone to law school at all.
But again,
right?
I don't think that they're handing you that packet going, here, memorize all
yes,
of this.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Suits?
No.
Well, no, not suits.
Catch Me If You Can. That's the kid.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Me If You Can.
You just can't.
Oh, Abagnale?
Yeah.
You can't process
but
it.
But the thing
it's
is that packet is for everybody. That's for the right tackle.
Yeah.
That's for the tight end. That's for every single position out there. So you take from it what you can to help you do your job
correct.
Better.
And I'm sure if you didn't, I bet Andy Reid, when he was your position coach, would be like,
yes.
Okay, here's some good stuff. And like right before you went back.
That's what I would tell. I wouldn't tell Andy Reid because he was my first coach. But Mike Sherman, I'd just be like, because Mike Sherman was never a tight end coach before until he came to the Green Bay Packers. And he's like, what do you want me? I said, just inundate me with information and I will take whatever I want with it. I said, just give me information. And if I flush it, I flush it. You know?
Yeah.
That's essentially what that is. And that's why you have these players, especially receivers, that run 4-3 and this and played here that stink in the league because they cannot process in that 12 seconds what to do.
But
they're too mechanical.
But also, you have these cards now that tell you what to do depending on where you are on the field and what down and distance it is and what the score of the game is. Like, and sometimes guys get criticized for relying too much on the stats. Right, Gabe? Like,
yeah.
They've got that card there that tells them, and we've joked about it in college football, well, the card said to go for two. Well, the card said to go for one. Well, the card said we should punt. Like, and people are like, right, but what does your gut say? What, you know, like, you've coached in this league a long time, or you've coached this sport a long time. What do you think you should do? Don't just be a slave to what the card says. There's got to be a balance between
the
two.
Oh, there is. Don't be a robot. Yeah, you can't be a robot. You know?
Oh, 100%.
Like, there's no one in the middle of the field. Well, I ran my 6-yard route. There's no one in the middle of the field. There comes a point where you got to play football, right?
Yeah, just no one's over there. I should go. That hole is open. I should go find
like
it.
Like instincts. I mean, instincts in your
business. Good
luck. Right? Jen, instincts in your business. You got to be able to trust your instincts. How many times have you done the wrong thing and you go, God, if I just trusted my instinct, it would have worked out? Second guessing.
Well, are you talking about me specifically?
No, I'm talking about everyone.
Do you think that I should trust my instincts or do you think I should follow the rules?
I mean,
we're just waiting for the slip up on the mothership.
Please don't trust your instincts.
Of you. That's why we're trying to bring it. We're Charton farters. We want you to say ukulele.
I'm a Charton farter.
We want you to say.
Let's be honest. Sorry. Ukulele's not holding up his end of the donkey
this season.
He's not really helping you guys out
donkey.
In that one. Our stats for losers. We put
Tigers.
It on the ESPN Milwaukee poll. The options are yep, beat it, nerd, and no. Right now, 71% of people saying, no, stats are not for losers.
Stats
go ahead and weigh
losers.
In on that. And also get your calls in, 800-990-3776. The phones are working.
We think.
Why do you keep disclaiming it?
Because I just want to say I think they're working. I'm not positive.
They might be working.
Ron,
they
call in.
Could
Ron,
be working.
That'll
test
be the time
out
they're
the
broken.
Lines.
That's how I know they're broken.
Yeah, like it's unreliable. Ashton won't take his call. Hey, guys, you know how I feel about my friends over at Culligan Water of Waukesha. They are the absolute best. Joe and his team have been great in helping us with our water journey. I know I've told you this before. I don't drink coffee in the morning. I rely on a 32-ounce Yeti of Culligan water with a lot of ice. Got to tell you, I got to take it cold. And of course, Joe and his team came over to our house and gave us one of those systems so that I can get my filtered water. No problem. No questions asked every single morning. And they've answered all of our other questions about the wonky water at our house and helped us get it to a place where I feel like it is not only clear and clean, it is safe for my family because safety is a priority for the folks over at Culligan Water of Waukesha. So much so that they put it right in their website. Yep. It's CulliganSafeWater.com, CulliganSafeWater.com. If you're curious about starting your water journey with Culligan, here's what you got to do. Go to that website, CulliganSafeWater.com. Tell Joe that Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top eight answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8, presented by Pello Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
Call Gina Della from Pella today at 855-PELLA-WI or visit them online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We have been taking your workplace disasters in honor of Gabe calling an NBA game last night for AM 620 via FaceTime. The stream was down. Matt weighing in saying, every winter a leak would open in the roof above my office. When the snow would fall, it would thaw and a steady drip would fall on me for about a week. Maybe not a disaster, but a slow form of torture for sure.
Oh, man.
I still think yours is worse. Nobody has given me one worse than what you had to deal with last night. And you handled it like a pro.
Well, then it can't be the worst.
I am just kissing his ass so that he gives me some points in the top 8 at 8 game that we are about to play.
Because, Jen, it's tough to cheat in this one like the way she cheats in power rankings.
But if I can butter him up.
So today is National Dessert Day.
Ooh.
So I am looking at one of a list featuring the top 8 of one of America's favorite desserts, and that is ice cream. So the way the game works, I've got this list of 8. Chewy and Jen will take turns guessing back and forth. Once they get one incorrect, they are out. If they cannot run the list, then we open it up to you, our fans, at 800-990-3776. The person who gets the last one right on the list gets an ESPN Milwaukee t-shirt.
So
the top 8 favorite ice cream flavors in the United States. Who wants to go first?
Chocolate.
Number 1.
Strawberry.
Number 3.
Vanilla.
Number 2.
I'll take strawberry number 1 out of any of those.
Do you like strawberry over chocolate and vanilla?
Yeah.
I like chocolate.
What if you mixed them all together? How would that be?
Well, that's Neapolitan.
Never heard of it.
What?
Really?
Never heard. I've heard of Neapolitan pizza, but never.
And you've heard of Napoleon.
I know a lot of Napoleons.
You're not sitting next to any, though, right?
No.
Of course not.
Can a girl be a Napoleon, though?
Of course.
I feel like...
Really? Are
yeah,
you a Napoleon?
For sure. I'm asking you.
So anyways, your next guess is...
I'm going to say...
Number 1 was chocolate, 2 was vanilla, 3 was
one
strawberry.
One of my favorites. What's my favorite, Ash? Oh, butter pecan.
Butter pecan is number 4.
And that doesn't make me old, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. Butter pecan is
I was going to guess it, but I was like, hell no, I'm not guessing butter pecan. What am I, 74?
What's UB's favorite? Butter pecan? Love it.
Probably.
Butter pecan is
I can
delicious.
Ask him. Ask him if he wrecked your car first. I should ask him. No, I did ask him. He got all mad at me. I don't know about any other flavors. Banana's not on the list.
We've guessed 4 ice cream flavors and Jen's out.
There's at least 31 that exist.
And then she gets upset when we think
Rocky,
that she cheats.
Is Rocky Road on the list?
Rocky Road is number 8.
Yes! Skin of my teeth.
Should I go with another old? Is there another old person
what
ice cream
doing?
On here?
Can't ask for clues.
What? I mean, I don't know what another old person ice cream is other than butter pecan.
He's thinking rum raisin.
No. You drink it in the morning.
Coffee? He can't look at it. He's stone faced. Gabe is not giving an inch. He's not giving a little. Facial movement, nothing.
I don't think you should guess it.
Okay.
But I don't know, though. I don't have the list in front of me. I don't think you should guess it.
I won't. You said Rocky Road.
What the hell is that sound?
That's the sound of Chewy when he's thinking.
It sounded painful.
I have a chocolate chip. Oh. Mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip.
Attaboy Chewy, we're
number 5.
Yeah, let's
go. Whoa. What just happened? You guessed
Ducks
chocolate
in the
chip.
Pond, baby.
You guessed chocolate chip, and then you amended it to be mint chocolate chip. Those are 2 separate flavors, you cheater.
You just like White Goodman spelling his name, W-H-I-T-E. He did it. He got it right eventually.
Easy, Napoleon.
We only have two left on the list. One was chocolate, two vanilla, three strawberry, four butter pecan. Five is mint chocolate chip. Eight was Rocky Road. We just need six.
How
and we
about
need seven.
Cookie dough?
You're
chocolate
not supposed
chip
to eat that.
Cookie dough I is love number seven
yes!
on the list.
Is it really?
I think that's a great guess, yeah.
I thought you're not supposed to eat it because of salmonella.
Salmonella. And if the way that they make it is okay. They don't make it with eggs.
What?
That's the eggs are the thing that make it salmonella.
To make a cookie, you have to use eggs.
Yeah, but to make the cookie dough that goes in the ice cream, it's different. It's not like if you take all the cookie dough pieces out of the ice cream, I don't think you're going to get a cookie if you put it in the oven.
So if I get this, I win?
Yeah, you do. You guys run the list.
This is like the thing from Vacation.
Is sherbet an ice cream, Ashton?
I don't think it is.
It's not.
Okay. I don't think it is.
I have no idea.
You got to guess something.
My favorite, Butter Crunch.
Butter Crunch is not on the list.
What's Butter Crunch?
They're like little crunchy candies. I've never seen it out here. I've
like
seen
toffee?
It. You know, I used to get it all the time as Friendly's back east.
Oh.
So delish.
Okay, I'm going to guess.
Cookies
see if I
and
can
cream.
This thing.
Is Jen going to win?
What did you just do?
Cookies and cream.
That's what I was going to guess.
So, are we right?
Cookies and cream is number six. On the list.
That's a push. That's a push.
Everyone, nice
that's
job.
A push.
You,
that's
what
a push.
What did you just do? You cheater McCheaterson.
Way to go.
By the way, coffee was number nine, Chew.
Ah!
Coffee ice cream, number nine on the list.
I don't like coffee ice cream.
Yeah, coffee ice cream's good.
My mother would eat it with potato chips, which is...
That is bizarre.
It's actually pretty good.
It actually sounds delicious.
Salty, sweet crunch. Mm-hmm. I could see it.
But can't you just have potato chips with any ice cream and get the salty, sweet crunch?
Yes, you could.
I guess you could.
That's why I like peanuts go well with ice cream.
Have you ever had like a mustard ice cream or a ketchup ice cream?
That sounds disgusting.
Horseradish ice cream.
I've tried ketchup ice cream.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
My girlfriend posted a video on Instagram the other day of a, wait for it, mac and cheese ice cream.
Out.
She said it was
out.
Amazing.
All the way out.
Is the
amazing.
Mac and cheese hot?
No,
it warm?
It just tastes like mac and cheese.
But mac and cheese has to be warm. If you get like cold mac and cheese,
I agree.
That's...
Yeah.
Ugh.
I essentially am assuming this is like
Gabe
cold
is having
mac and
a
cheese.
Very visceral reaction to the mac and cheese ice cream. She said it was fantastic.
Well, see, that's kind of like Ashton's candy corn brats.
Oh,
is that intriguing at all?
No, not in the slightest.
Where you can see the candy corns in the casing.
No, I want nothing to do with
Let
that.
Let me find the source of
Absolutely
this so I can actually talk
to do
about
with
it.
That.
Why did you ask about mustard and ketchup? That sounds disgusting.
Well, we were talking in the production meeting. I have 10 different mustards in my refrigerator, and I had pastrami and Swiss last night, and I'm like, what is the best mustard to go along with that?
I'm not going to lie, big guy. 10 seems extreme. 10 seems aggressive.
No,
I don't think
10 mustards?
I don't think so.
Can you rattle off 10 mustards right now?
Yes.
Top 8
one,
and 8, 10 mustards. Here we go.
Honey mustard.
Okay, honey mustard, got it.
It's pigeonholed. You can only use that on certain things.
Correct.
Like chicken tendies.
Yeah. Oh,
yes,
they're great
that's
with tendies.
The best. Yeah. Deli mustard is good. You
is that
guys
like
didn't
the,
even know
is
what
that
it
like
is.
The yellow mustard?
It's kind of a mix between brown mustard and yellow mustard. It's very good. Jalapeno mustard. I
you
highly recommend.
You have a jalapeno mustard in your refrigerator?
Delicious. Gabe, the best.
The beer and brat
beer
mustard.
Beer and brat.
Horseradish mustard. Oh. So damn good.
I mean, I could put that on a spoon and eat it.
What about Grey Poupon?
Grey Poupon, I got that. I'm not. It's okay.
What about Dusseldorf?
Dusseldorf is good. That's kind of like the beer and brat, Gabe.
Do you have that in your fridge?
Yes.
Okay.
What else?
Yellow, obviously.
Regular, that goes on hot dogs.
He's up to seven.
I love yellow mustard.
What else? I have a wasabi mustard. That's very interesting, but you can only eat it on certain things.
Do you have like
a... what? Sushi?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
God, I'm so hungry.
I mean, it's like you get spicy mayo with your sushi, so I guess you could get...
Have you heard of beaver mustard?
Sounds like something
beaver
you need to
mustard.
See your doctor about.
Beaver mustard is made here in Wisconsin.
Oh, is it?
Yes, and it is outstanding. Ashton, what's the one I like? The spicy.
Sweet. There's spicy sweet. There's sweet hot.
So good. So
they have
so good.
Here's the one that I'm very intrigued with, and I'm going to tell you guys the sandwich I would make this. Cranberry mustard on a turkey sandwich.
Oh, I actually like cranberry mustard.
Yeah, I think that would be solid.
What else do I have in the fridge?
You haven't even mentioned brown. The one you used last night.
That's what I used last night on the pastrami, and it was good, but...
And why didn't you use straight up yellow? I think, for me, anytime I think pastrami, I think straight up yellow.
I mean, the pastrami has a vinegar taste. It has.
Yeah, it's more acidic.
It has a pungent taste to it, and I think the yellow with the vinegar that's in the yellow
too
is just too much.
Yeah, yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah, the brown, like
this
a ground
feels like
mustard.
A lot. I'm pretty sure I only have like four mustards in my fridge.
I put it on the
You know what?
The Twitter
Let's
poll.
Do a taste test because we've done the hot sauce.
Yeah.
I'll bring in a bunch.
You bring in a bunch of your mustards?
They probably don't want me to.
Just bring them in.
They're all expired.
What? That's bull, okay? The whole expired
it's
thing in this country is just like, come
yeah,
on.
I agree. It's just a suggestion.
Am I right?
Wait.
Like,
are you saying that's
milk
what's wrong
away
with this country?
If it's past
our
the
obsession
date?
With expiration dates?
It's so overrated. No, really. I'm being serious here. Like, sour cream, how do you know it's bad?
There's three ways.
Scoop it off.
There's three ways you can tell. One is by looking at the mold. Two, smelling it. And three, whatever happens afterwards.
It's sour. So what are you going to smell? What is it? Not sour anymore?
Well, it smells like mold.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like, I went into our pantry yesterday or 2 days ago, and I was like, something in here is bad, okay? It just smelled, had that strong, moldy odor. Sure enough, there was a bag of rolls from Costco, green as the Kentucky bluegrass that I was in this past week.
Do you throw
them
away?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the birds will still eat them. Just give them to the birds.
You know what? I'll bring them in for you to give
I'll
to the birds.
I'll put them in the freezer.
You lunatic. Lots of folks weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line on lots of different things. Folks were guessing their ice creams. Josh from Heartland letting us know that there were chocolate-covered potato chips in the old Ben & Jerry's, the pride of Vermont flavor, called Late Night Snack.
Big Vermont.
That sounds good, though.
Again with Vermont.
Chocolate covered
no, because
potato
the chips are probably
my mom makes
stale,
those.
Though, right?
They'd have to be, wouldn't they, in order to survive the ice cream?
Right, you know what? You know, the issue with Ben & Jerry's is they put too much stuff in the ice
wrong,
cream, and
wrong.
You don't get
You've
enough of the ice
wrong.
Cream.
I agree,
ice cream
Gabe,
is better.
The stuff
like, you
is
want
good.
The ones
God,
that just
so
have
wrong.
More ice cream than
Gabe.
All the stuff.
Gabe.
If I want a bunch of stuff, I'll go buy the stuff. Yeah. No, I want ice cream.
I want the stuff with the ice cream. We don't have time. We, honest to God, do not have time for me to yell at you about this. I'm sorry. I'm really mad now.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we have many, many more of your workplace disaster stories to compete with Gabe's having to call an NBA game last night off of FaceTime. We'll get to those when we get back, but first, Chew.
All right, peeps, the 555 has been extended at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Yes, through October 31st, just as Britney Spears behind the glass.
True. It's true. It is. It's been extended.
We should all go to Ashton's, whatever he lives in, for Halloween.
Music.
Huh?
I've got, I mean, you can. I'm not going to be there.
Just out of curiosity, what are the options for the things that he lives in? A shoe? We should all go to the thing that Ashton lives in. An apartment?
Do you not answer the door because you're scared?
No, if I'm home, I leave the door unlocked. Yeah, if I'm home. There's not enough space for me to, like, get murdered in my apartment. If someone's opening the door to murder me, they're just doing it within, like, 5 seconds. I can't hide anywhere.
All right, you can still get up to 5 years, no interest, 5 months, no first payment, and even up to 5% same-day-order savings at your initial consultation. But that's not the only reason to upgrade now to Pella Windows and Doors. You see, while others are saying, wait 3-4 months or more for installation, order today, and Pella of Wisconsin can install in as little as 8 weeks. Better still, every installer is a Pella certified to ensure your complete satisfaction, and the Pella Wisconsin team can complete installation in as little as 1 day. More good news. In addition to 6 lines to fit your style and financing to fit your budget, a 2020 survey rated Pella Windows number one in highest value, highest quality, and most preferred by Green Bay and Milwaukee homeowners. Stop by the Pella Experience Center. Get directions and set your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Give me a nice pass. What happened to a nice pass?
All right, take it easy, Shaq. Otherwise, I'm going to sick Candace. I'm going to sick Candace Parker over your eyes.
When you make that chest pass.
Make the popping sound.
He's a bounce pass guy.
Jeez Louise. Next thing he's going to be wanting us shooting free throws underhand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Feeling good, like I should. Went in to walk around the neighborhood. Feeling blessed.
Folks weighing in with their workplace disasters. And listen, we're kind of using the word disaster tongue-in-cheek a little bit because obviously it's hyperbolic, okay? We're exaggerating a smidge. But Josh in Lake Geneva weighing in saying, when I worked it for a terribly disorganized sign company in Rochester, New York, we had 48 hours to finish a massive job hanging 2,500 signs in a newly constructed college hockey arena. Three of us worked 48 hours straight and only slept for 30 minutes on the visitor's bench. We finished hanging the last sign as they were cutting the ribbon and opened the doors 2 hours before the first puck was scheduled to drop.
This explains a lot why Josh in Lake Geneva cuts the sandwiches the way he does.
It does. It does. He's been through a lot.
Can the disaster be self-inflicted or no?
Of course it can.
Oh, okay.
Well, you got one?
Well, when we stuck Brett's helmet full of, we taped the ear holes and filled it with water and stuck it in the
freezer.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem
wise. Not knowing, well, we wrecked the earpiece.
Yeah.
And this was on a Friday.
Yeah.
We got in trouble.
Yeah. The audio system.
I didn't do it.
So he couldn't communicate with the bench, with the coaches?
Yeah. And he claimed he was the victim here.
Brett did?
Yeah. Are you trying to say that this was retribution?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
You're just getting him back for something.
Yeah.
Dave weighing in here, guys, and I gotta admit, I have been saying all morning long that I didn't think anybody could give me something that would be better than Gabe's workplace disaster. But Dave weighing in, guys, saying, a few years ago, I worked third shift at a prison, and the power went out. And the backup generator went out. And we were without power for 2 hours. Okay, so you just think about your one quarter of NBA basketball off of FaceTime, and then you think about our friend Dave here, who was working at a prison with no power for 2 hours.
That'll test you.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
That seems very unsafe.
That's terrifying.
Was it a Turkish prison?
So Dave is the leader in the clubhouse right now, guys.
Such a good movie.
No, Danny can stay.
Such a good movie.
You don't get it.
I didn't get it. Was it that obvious? Was the silence? Was the pregnant pause that obvious?
No. Airplane?
I've seen Airplane, but not in a long time.
Not
I don't
enough
remember
to
it.
Remember the Turkish prison line.
Gabe knew.
Unnamed to the 414
that makes Gabe
saying,
cool.
I taught music in Madison. The audio system worked the night before I tested it. The following morning for the kids' concert, it did not.
That's the most frustrating thing. When you test something and it works, and then you go back, and for whatever reason, it just stopped working.
Says that his principal was not happy. If that's your story, give us your name. I'd love to put you in the system. 800-990-3776. We've been asking you for your workplace disasters in honor of Gabe, who was calling an NBA game yesterday for our friends over at AM620, and he was doing it off of FaceTime for one quarter of basketball. Though we listened to the highlights, and they sounded really good. Really good. And then when you consider the circumstances, they sound really, really good. So, speaking of workplace disaster, guys, we've been talking about the red zone situation for the Green Bay Packers. You could argue that it has been a disaster for our green and gold this season. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams both being asked about that yesterday. Let's hear from Aaron Rodgers first, Ashton.
I mean, I think we can be more aggressive. I think that's the biggest thing. I think last year, you know, we scored an 80% clip, which was crazy. This year we're more down near 50, I believe, in the mid-50s. I think we can, you know, keep being more aggressive in those areas. And it does, more aggressive doesn't mean throw the ball more. It just means we have a ton of scheme down there, and let's keep rolling it off the sheet.
I wonder how Aaron Rodgers feels knowing that his coach thinks he's a loser.
Stats are for losers.
Because Rodgers just rattled off
all
the stats.
He just rattled off the stats.
I mean, the 80% is inflated because no fans in the stands. Obviously,
sure.
That's going to bring the number down.
From last year, yes.
Yeah.
But what he's talking about last year.
What he's talking about aggressive, because I'm sure they do the same thing today. Friday's red zone day, right? So that's when you get your installation on Friday morning. And I was more excited getting the installation on Friday for the red zone than I was the first 15, right? Because the way Holmgren did it is you have five throws from the 20, five from the 15, five from the 10, five from the 5. And if I went into an installation and saw that I wasn't really involved, I was just not happy. And Holmgren did a great job of sprinkling the infield. He gave everyone a shot. We never ran the ball in the red zone. Very rarely. Maybe inside the 5. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Now, goal line is a different package, right?
Sure.
So once you get inside the 5, that's a whole nother set of installation, right? Which typically involves a tight end a ton because you're in two tight end, sometimes three tight end sets. But that's the problem. They're not taking shots, right? And when we had 5 from the 20, this wasn't a three-step drop. Maybe there was one in there, but this was taking shots at the end zone, right? 3 guys verticals, 4 guys vertical. You don't have it, check it down, live to play another day. They just need to be more aggressive, like you said.
Is the offensive issues in the red zone magnified by the defensive issues in the red zone, right? I think you could make the argument that one could kind of exist on its own, but because they are struggling in the red zone and then the defense is struggling to stop teams in the red zone, it feels amplified. Is that like accurate? Is that because that's kind of how it looks to me? Like you could sit here and go, okay, well, the Green Bay Packers offense is scoring 50% of the time in the red zone, but the defense is stopping them 75% of the time. And that feels like a better balance than what you're dealing with now, which is that both units are struggling in that space.
See, when you get to the red, this is the biggest copycat area of the field that there is. So you might see Jacksonville playing Tennessee, right? Game you would really not care about, but someone say, hey, they ran this in the red zone from the 18. You might want to take a look at this.
Yeah, but it's a smaller part of the field. How many more options do you have? That's my thing. Is like they always talk about how your options are limited once you get down there just because you're dealing with less space.
It is, but when free, we call it a shake route. And even in today's football, I have never, ever seen anyone run a shake route as good as free. And
what's
what a shake route is, right, is you take it to the post, one or two steps to the corner, back to the post, put on the brakes, and essentially run flat to the corner of the end zone. I think he scored in the Denver, ran it perfect, the Denver Super Bowl.
Yeah.
No one runs that better than free, right? So then you run that, he scores, and then the next week you do a little twitch with Robert and or Biebs on the other side. So it's just a game. It's just all spreading it out. But those are one of the things that creates excitement in a practice. Really did. Red zone was exciting, and then Thursday afternoon, it was two-minute drill. Our ones against the defensive ones, and it was a competition. It was serious, and it was fun.
Let me ask you what probably sounds like a stupid question, Gabe. If you are struggling this bad in the red zone, is there any thought about strategizing differently where you're going for the end zone from the 40, from the 35, from the 30, instead of waiting until you get inside the 20 to score? Like, Rodgers is a deep fall threat.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, is that something where you start to see more of those types of plays being put into the game plan?
I doubt it. I bet they just focus on being better in the red zone because they were so good in the red zone a year ago. And as that offensive line gets healthy, I think they have to realize that they have to use Robert Tonyan more and stop keeping him in for as long as he's been in and get him out in his route faster. Because that's the other thing. If Tonyan is trying to stay in too long, you mentioned the tight field. I mean, if it's a tight field and you only have a couple of guys out on the route, you need more out.
Which could be a little bit on Rodgers too, because like you said, everything gets smaller and your windows get smaller. Well, Brett didn't care about windows. He didn't care. He didn't care. Sometimes it bit him in the ass. Sometimes
he scored. At times.
But we all know sometimes Rodgers' knock is, and he's gotten better at it, is he's not going to fit it in to a tight window if there's the chance of throwing a pick.
I didn't think there was a such thing as a tight window for Aaron Rodgers, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, I'm not being honest. I'm being complimentary. I'm saying there's no such thing as a tight window for Aaron Rodgers.
But the windows shrink because you can't run go routes. You know what I mean? And he knows that, and most teams against him are dropping 7.
Yeah.
You know, at least 6. It's
Okay, so Chu, very quickly, how do you improve your red zone efficiency? You said you're going through it on Friday. You're doing the install. Like, what are ways that if you're struggling in that space as mightily as the Packers' offense is, that you can improve it?
Steal ideas from other teams. That's what we did. You know, if we saw something like we saw something this week on a peripheral game, we didn't come back the next week and ran it. We logged it and then came back to it maybe 4 weeks later, right? And they're like, wow, that really worked. Yeah.
Well, and it sounds like they've got a little bit of a brain trust going on between Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, et cetera. Everybody, it's all hands on deck right now trying to figure out how to be better in the red zone. We'll see if it pays off this weekend as the Packers take on the Bears.
Talking about windows, talking about the Green Bay Packers. Of course, we're going to talk about Windows Select, a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. Right now, you can buy one window, get one free with no limit, plus get no payments for an entire year with Windows Select. Do you think that would be enough? You would think that would be enough for you to want to call them or go to their website, windowselect.com. But right now, for every free home estimate, have them out to your house. No purchase necessary. Just have them out. You get a $100 Packers Pro Shop card. That's right. Any free home estimate, you have Window Select out to your house, you get a $100 Packers Pro Shop card so you can get new Packers gear. Maybe some of the new throwback stuff that they're going to be coming out with soon and going to be wearing on the field. You can get that if you have a free home estimate with Window Select. They also still have their double lifetime warranty, and why wouldn't they, with their A-plus energy efficiency rated products. Call them today, 262-703-3500, or go to windowselect.com to set up your free home estimate and get the $100 Packers Pro Shop card just by having a free home estimate. When you call up at 262-703-3500, make sure you tell them you heard it from me, Gabe, right here on ESPN Milwaukee.
Gabe and Chewy.
Again, I'm just learning about this. I don't know why I'm getting attacked like I'm the weatherman. I'm just delivering the message, pal.
I know. I'm sorry. But not really. You're up.
Percent times that Chewy says he's sorry and actually means it.
I'll take 14%.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Everyone, stop what you're doing and listen.
That was good. I have an urgent message.
Cannonball!
Cannonball!
October is Palermo's Pizza Month here on 94.5 ESPN. We love pizza so much around here that we're celebrating it for an entire month, and we're bringing you along with us every Friday right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Be listening for your chance to win free pizza. Yeah, that's right. Get free Palermo's pizza just by listening to your favorite 94.5 ESPN show. Clearly, we're your favorite. Yeah, we know. 94.5 ESPN, Friday mornings in October. A whole month dedicated to pizza. Palermo's Pizza is Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Check out ESPNWisconsinContests.com for official contest rules.
Destin, where are they?
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, they're probably buried because the power rankings came out like 2 days ago.
Just Google power rankings week six.
I like the first thing he
says. Do you have them?
Ashton, where are they? No. Oh, give me a second.
Ashton, where are they?
I thought you had this all ready to go.
Oh,
you're ready
goodness.
To do this.
You look at him. Look at him. Google.
It's not
Google,
my fault.
Google.
This is not a workplace disaster.
All right, let me read you
We're
a workplace
supposed to
disaster.
Do them on Tuesday.
Duke in the Lou weighing in saying he worked for a beer distributor one morning while everyone was trying to load all of their barrels of beer. A guy came in hot off the forklift, ran his fork right into a half barrel. It punctured a hole and sprayed beer throughout the entirety of the keg cooler. That from Duke in the Lou. We also got unnamed in the 262 weighing in saying he was called into a mandatory company meeting expecting something like a company restructure, only to be told a coworker had turned himself in murder.
That was easy.
What? For murder.
I had no idea there's a tag on there you can just go write the power rankings.
Now you know. All right, Chewy, 10 through 6.
10 through 6. Okay. 10 Kansas City chefs. I don't even think they should be 10. They're terrible.
Ooh, I had them at 9.
The brownies.
Had them
that's
at 7.
Fair. Baltimore should be higher at 4-1.
I had Baltimore at 4.
No one cares. 7, the Chargers at 4-1.
Well,
they're
good. Well, I got to change my list now.
6, the Cowboys. I think they should be top 5. They're better than the Packers
no
right now.
No one cares.
Number 5.
Number 5, I have the Packers.
Did you know what movie we are talking about?
No.
Yeah.
You're mad at me about
so
the
much.
Movies.
She
yeah.
She's mad at me.
She did.
You said no one cares.
Someone guessed number 5.
I said Packers.
1,109. Oh, the guns.
Oh, it burns.
Packers are 5,
it's a
Gabe.
Deep burn. Yeah, Packers.
4.
I had the Ravens at number four because they had an exceptional game this weekend. But since they're not there and you rattle off all these other teams, I got to go with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, Tampa Bay.
I am Buccaneers are, but I would put Dallas 4, Buccaneers 5, Packers 6. Give me number 3.
It's the Rams.
I was going to say St. Louis Rams.
I don't think this changed.
Rams.
A while ago.
I don't think this changed from last
week.
Cardinals.
2-1.
Bills.
One.
Who beat the Chiefs.
Oh, Buffalo.
We tied. Shocking.
I think Arizona should be one because
they're
undefeated.
Ravens were four, Jen.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I said I had
Gabe
them
won.
As four. How does he win?
Because I you win. I had a hand just like that before. I didn't win.
Because I win.
He gets all the easy ones.
Jen, we're transferring you to Russia. Your bringer code is cold.
I know what that's
Rituals.
I walked in on Dario watching that the other day. I was like, how many times have you seen this?
I thought you were going in another direction there. I walked in on Dario. Fill in the blank.
Watching Anchorman. Good Lord.
Is that what people call it now?
Well.
What?
Let's just talk for
so
one
great.
Quick minute, though. I could make an argument for some of these teams. Dallas, you mentioned. Dallas is number 8.
7.
7.
8.
Beating the Giants 4-1.
6. They're 6.
Why are you waving a College Game Day card in our face?
It's unbelievable.
This is where I put all my notes on the College Game Day cards. They have boxes
leaving?
And boxes of them.
Very, when we can be naughty.
Very soon. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you trying to tell me that you haven't been naughty?
This is chewing on his best behavior.
We had people weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line asking about your a-hole.
Better than my b-hole.
Again,
we really need to end this train wreck.
I do think, though, that the gentleman who worked at the prison and had the power go out is slightly worse than Gabe's workplace disaster yesterday. But I do think we should take another moment and give
Gabe
the round of applause that he deserves for calling an NBA game on FaceTime yesterday. Also, we put it on the ESPN Milwaukee poll. Our stats for losers.
No,
with 72% of the votes, 27% has beat it, nerd. Yeah, they are. Somebody needs to tell Matt LaFleur that stats would actually help his team, win. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is over. Wildy and Tausch is next. I'm out tomorrow. Uncle Homer is in. I'm guessing they're going to let you all back on the air tomorrow, even though you talked about your b-hole more than you should have.